Welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. We are so glad to have you with us today. I'm Alan. I'm here with Trent, and we are going to be talking today about something that is very important, something that we all need in ministry, and those are the fences of accountability that we build in our lives. So, Trent, what kind of led you to this thought for our podcast today?
Alan, over the years, there are several guys that I have enjoyed listening to broadcasts from or seen in person or gotten to know. And there's a lot of people, all of us can point to somebody who has been a great Christian leader and then fallen in some way. Unfortunately, a whole lot of them sexual sins that have brought them down. And recently, I had really, over the last several years, I had gotten to enjoy and learn so much from Ravi Zacharias. And hopefully that you're familiar with him. He was an amazing apologetics speaker and just did a great job. He passed away this past year. But then, unfortunately, right after that, there was a huge opening of mouths, I guess you could say, and it came out that he had been involved in lots of sexual sin. We'll just leave it at that. And so it really broke my heart because I looked up to this gentleman as a teacher and a leader, and then to learn this. And so we don't want you to go down that path. We want to talk about this today, Alan.
Yeah, and you know, the laundry list, everyone who's listening, you know, we've seen them. You know, it goes back, I think, with media the way it is and information the way it is, a lot of these things just don't get swept under the rug anymore. And that's probably good. I mean, you know, the church does not need to be a place that hides sin. And so it's painful. And I think we've got a lot of pain in front of us too, that's still to be uncovered in stories. And it's hard. These are important things. But I think, you know, one of the benefits that comes out of it too is that we recognize that it's not only God who's watching, others are watching too. And if that helps us and keeps us away from sin, then that's probably a good thing for us. And so, you know, we want to build those walls. I remember how crushed I was. I had a seminary professor I loved. I just thought the world of him. I injured my knee in the gym, and he was the first person to check on me. He started praying for me right away. And I love that man so much. And, you know, a year later, he's out of our seminary because he was having an affair. And, you know, heartbreaking. I've had friends leave ministry over stuff. So, you know, it hurts. It just hurts. And then you start asking yourselves a lot of questions. So Trent, this is a note I know kind of comes straight from the heart today. And I mm-hmm. think that's important for us sometimes to do that. Let's just kind of talk through the heart, what that means for us as we work through it, but also use this as a talking point for how we can strengthen ourselves. So what's the first thing that kind of came to your mind when you were dealing with this?
Well, as I was, you know, going through this and I was still learning all that had gone on with Ravi Zacharias. And of course we've seen this with other pastors and leaders as well. But I started going listened to a podcast interview with Josh McDowell, and his son was interviewing it because they were good friends with Ravi Zacharias, and just to kind of ask some questions. And one of them that came out of several different podcasts that I watched and interviews was he a fraud, or was he leading a double life? What was going on there? And the more that I thought about it, the more I prayed about it, the more I listened to other people, I don't think he was a fraud. He may have been leading more of a double life, but I will tell you, he was caught up in sin. And we can all say, man, we could all go there. we can never say, oh, I would never do that, because that's wrong.
So I think one of the things, and I think this is fair for people to consider and all of us to consider, is let's say you're a high profile person, even a low profile. If you're a pastor, you're high profile with 40 or 50 people at least. I mean, let's just be honest mm-hmm. about that. Do you want 40 or 50 people to know every dark, deep secret of your life? You know, and so let's say your sin is going unchecked in your life and it grows and you keep that from 40 or 50 people, but then another church calls you. And so you're in a church of 150 people and that sin's still going unchecked and you don't want them to know about it, because if they know about it, you might lose your job. So you hide that and you keep moving up. It's not that you don't have a faith, but you've got a sin problem. And as your ministry grows, guess what else is growing? Your sin problem. And mm-hmm. and that becomes a problem, and it becomes a huge problem. And again, the problem is not that we're all sinners. The problem is that if you don't have accountability, your sin is going to go unchecked, and it's going to increase in its consequences and in the damage that it causes. And we've seen this happen over and over and over again. And it's not always sexual. I mean, there are other things. You know, we were talking before about plagiarism. We've seen financial matters. We've seen people lie about their experience or their resumes, you know, all kinds of things. And so, you know, it's important for us to recognize that sin causes damage. And if we don't have some accountability in our lives, that sin is going to go unchecked in that. So I guess what I'm hearing you say, Trent, is that you don't really discount all of his ministry.
No, and that to me, I think, is one of the saddest things, is that there are those who would discount everything that Ravi Zacharias has done, or Bob Coy, or who you name, all those guys in the past that have fallen. And I think that is totally, God has worked in that person to help change lives in the past. And I certainly don't want somebody to think, oh, my faith is a fraud because the person that led me to Christ was a fraud. That's not true. We place our faith in Christ, not in some great pastor. But the more high profile you become, the more people are going to look for ways to knock you down. Josh McDowell talked a lot about that. Whenever he goes to a meeting, has been asked to speak, he always tells the people, do not send a lady to the airport to pick me up, because I can't ride with just me and a lady picking me up. And he said he gets more grief, more flack over that than you would imagine. But if they do, he'll just say, thanks, I'll take a taxi. But he got several people that really jumped on him about that. Why we wasted this time and then we had to pay for a taxi and all this. He said, but if I would have fallen in any way morally, you would have been the first ones to jump on my case about that. And he said, I'm not going to give you that opportunity. I'm going to put those fences in place and have some standards so that I don't fall in that way.
So we're kind of jumping into some of the protective things that we do. So Trent, I was reading a lot of, I've been reading a lot of comments from some leaders who say that's offensive, or that holds men or women down. It assumes that we're going to fall. You know, how would you respond to maybe people who feel that way? You know, they're saying, well, that's just dumb. You know, we should be more mature than that. We should have more faith in our own spirituality than that.
Well, I would say, yes, you're right. We should be more mature than that. But then I would also point to scripture that says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? We've all are going to mess up. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way, is what scripture says. We're going to make bad choices. We're humans. We're going to make bad decisions. And so the point is to put in place fences to help us to know where the boundaries are, to know when and how to make a better decision. So that, I guess that would be my response to that question, Alan.
Yeah, I can certainly appreciate where some people are coming from, especially in these days where it seems like, well, you know, we treat people differently based on every different scenario, right? We've got all these things. And so why should it be? But, you know, because we've seen, you know, not every sexual problem was a man with a woman, you know? So, you know, what do we do? What do we do with that? I mean, is how's that any different, you know? And so I can see where everything's coming from, but I also think that there's also a sense of an appearance in everything like that. And really my first thought, quite frankly, when I go somewhere or do something like that, it has nothing to do with really what other people see. My first thought is, what does my wife see? And the boundaries we set up were set up with her discussions with me and in my discussions with her. And that's where it began. And so really, in my mind, if someone doesn't like it, you know, well, then they don't respect my wife. And I've got a real problem. I've got a real problem with that. You know, it's because she's the one that I go home to. And she's the one that I'm sleeping next to most of the time, unless I get in the doghouse, right? But, you know, yeah. But she's the one that's there. And I don't really care if someone else doesn't like it. I know that sounds kind of mean, but that's just how it is.
Well, and I totally agree with you. That's our number one priority is our relationship with God and our relationship with our family. And so if someone else is going to put pressure on us to not consider that important, then we don't need to be around those people. They don't need to be people who speak into our lives, and because our family and our relationship with God are preeminent. And so we want to just talk briefly about accountability. I want you to know that it's super important. You need to have some type of accountability, people that will ask you tough questions and that you trust enough to be able to do that. And so you have to set up some checks and balances in your ministry ahead of time.
Yeah, Trent, I think those checks and balances too, think about them as far as kind of like the big three, you know, pride, power, and lust, those the big areas. How are you going to set up your checks and balances in those? Because really, that old saying, pride comes before the fall, that is almost always true. You know, I know that sometimes this the aftermath is we find out there was sexual sin, but a lot of times the part before that was pride. The first sin was pride. And so, you know, pride, power, you know, we fall in love with who we are sometimes. And one of the biggest crashes, and we've seen pastors who just couldn't deal with the power and the influence that they wield. And I sense there's a little bit of that going on right now. You know, I've been very concerned with some things that I've seen because of social media, and we can all say good things and bad things about social media, but I've seen a lot of people, I would say pastors of influence, being very careless with the power and the influence that they have, that to me kind of shows that they're a little bit full of themselves, and that concerns me for them, but it's also a reminder for me that before the grace of God go I.
Mm-hmm. You're right. We could all fall to those same things. You're right, Alan. It is by the grace of God, except that I would go down that same path. I was listening to an interview with Phil, that has a family of duck hunters and all that. You guys know who I'm talking about. Anyway, he was told by a friend of his that, you know, when they go to a hotel, if he hears a knock on the door, don't you go open the door, because what will happen is there will be some girl, and this is Phil telling this story. He said there'll be some girl there and taking her top off and jumping on you, and there'll be somebody down the hall taking a picture. And it may be nothing that Phil had done wrong, but he just opened the door. And when it comes to accountability, we don't want you to open the door. We don't want you to put yourself in a position where you even look like you're doing something wrong. We want you to protect your family, protect your, you know, what the way people think of you.
I was just going to say, you can set some of that up inside your church with policies, procedures, conversations, things like that. And then you need to have some that's set up outside your church. You need some people that you can talk to, that you can confide in and share those things that you cannot share with people inside your church.
Yeah, Alan, I'm glad you brought that up. When you talk about things we can set up inside our church with policies and procedures, can you give us an example of things like that you would do?
Well, I mean, I think some of the things, you know, it's like, what will your policies be regarding being alone with someone? You know, we're in a situation where there's in our offices at any given time, there's two of us guys and two gals. And, you know, there have been a couple times where one of us has had to take I've had to take one of the girls on my staff to go get a car, to go pick it up at the shop. So we had a plan in place, you know, okay, I have to send a text to this person and this person and this person. And as soon as I drop you off, then I'm sending a text to this person and this person, you know, and we do have some ways to cover that. I mean, some things are unavoidable, especially in smaller situations, but have some policies and procedures in place where you deal with that. Also, I think one of the things I was just thinking about recently was I've seen some pastors, you know, give themselves too much power. And I think part of that is in your policies and procedures to be willing to share and to not give yourself that opportunity. We're in a day where things have shifted. You know, it used to be when churches were doing policies and procedures, pastors had no power, you know, and they weren't able to do their ministry. But now in many church settings, we've kind of gone to the other extreme where we almost give pastors too much power. And you're watching these pastors, they're burning out right and left because they can't deal with the power that they get. And so I think another thing you need to do is get some separation of responsibilities and power things, you know, in your constitution, bylaws, things like that. I think all those things are very helpful.
Yeah, I think that's true, Alan. And just a phrase to keep in mind that, you know, you talked about if you have to take a lady to pick up a car or whatever, you do send those texts out, because a lack of communication will always be filled with negativity. The worst possible thoughts will come to somebody's mind if they see you driving with another lady who's not your wife. And so you want to communicate with someone else, communicate with your wife, say, this is what's going on, just so that you know, because I want to protect our relationship.
Yeah, that's just important, you know. I know that there's places like there are situations where you just can't get around of. When I was bivocational and I was working in ministry but had another job, I had to follow the policies and procedures of that place. But I also had to begin with honesty with my wife. This is the situation. So how are we going to deal with that? And Trent, you say that that's the first place of honesty, is to be honest with your spouse.
I believe that's true. That's the relationship that God has given me. I do believe that my wedding and my marriage to my wife, Dana, is a gift from God. And as such, then I need to do everything I can to protect that, because she and I are helpmates to each other in ministry. And I don't want to lose my helpmate. And so I'm going to do everything I can to be honest with her and tell her everything that's going on, because I don't want that lack of communication to be filled with negativity. So I think that's a huge deal. Honesty with our spouse is number one. And then I would also go on further than that and say honesty with some other ministers that you trust is very important too. You need to have that accountability group that's with some other pastors that you can talk to openly.
Yeah, it's important to talk with other pastors, you know, and I'm grateful that I have a relationship with you, Trent, you know, and we can talk about things. And, you know, we've been honest about some of our own, like, challenges that we have, you know, where, GM, I'm being too full of myself here, you know, and all those things. But I think talking with other pastors and their struggles too also is a humbling experience, you know, when someone's willing to share with you some of their struggles and things like that. And not everyone in your accountability circle has to be a minister. It might be helpful sometimes to have someone who's a non-minister just who can give you a different perspective, maybe as a church member on something like that. But to have some people who are outside your church that you can talk to, because it's important that you bear everything. But if you wanted to say, you know, well, I've got an issue with pride, it's hard to talk about that, you know, in front of your church, but maybe you can talk about that with them and they can help you through that a little bit.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, setting up that accountability group, having somebody in your church, you have to have been there for a while and know who you can trust in your church. And so that's why we tend to say, you know, have a group outside your church and maybe ministers or friends that you've had for a very long time that you know you can trust, because you're more likely to be open with them if you know that you can trust them. If you have some people that you don't really know, you're you're least likely to be open with them. And we want you to be honest, to be able to be held accountable.
Yeah, your accountability will only go as far as your honesty. It matters. And so that's important. But it is important to have some of that with people in your church. I want to just say, you know, I'm appreciative of people like on my church board, on my leadership team. You know, I've been reflecting on my life in ministry, you know, which is kind of in that thing of where's really my sweetest spot of ministry. And, you know, to recognize how little I love the detail side. You know, I don't want to sit around and think about policies and procedures and all those kinds of things all the time. And I'm grateful that I could share that with folks. And they said, well, let's get some of this off your plate, you know, and that's accountability. Because if I'm not being held accountable, this isn't a fireable area or a disqualification for ministry area, but it's also an area of acknowledgement that I struggle in this area. So if you can be honest with that and you get positive results, it makes it easier to be honest in other areas as well. But part of accountability is just recognizing who you are, recognizing your strengths and your weaknesses and getting help with that.
Yeah, it's so important to have, it becomes a ministry team and that you look out for each other. One of the things that makes me think of, you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about us having on the full armor of God. The part, if you start putting those pieces together on the person, you realize that the back is, there's no protection on your back. And so the reason that is because it's expected that somebody's got your back. You need that accountability, that team that works with you to have your back, so that you can be facing, you know, the devil head on, but you don't have to worry about somebody stabbing you in the back.
Yeah, that's a great picture. That's a great parallel. You know, I mean, there were books. Books have been written about boundaries and hedges and all those kinds of things. And you're certainly welcome to read those. We'd encourage you to read those. But at the end of the day, the boundaries and the fences that you build need to be ones that work for you. You know, don't rely on, well, so-and-so did it this way, so this is the way I have to do it. You know, you may come up with a different way of doing it from us, and that's okay. The what we want to encourage you with is that you have them, that you make those fences. And you know, there's chain link fences, and there's wooden fences, and there's barbed wire fences, there's electric fences. Just build a fence. please build a fence for your ministry.
Yeah, that's right, Alan. And because we call this the Enduring Churches podcast, we want you as a minister to endure. And if you don't put in accountability fences, you won't endure. And so we want to give you everything, all the tools, all the fencing tools and all the fencing hardware to build that for you so that you will endure. And your church will do better for sure. And so we just want to give these opportunities to you, some thoughts about this, encourage you not to have counseling appointments with you and a lady if without your wife being there or another lady. Simple things like that are fences that you need to put in place to protect you, to protect your reputation. There's all kinds of other things that we'd love to share with you about that. And so we want to encourage you to contact us to, let us share more of this with you, things that will help you, your Sunday school classes, your children's ministry, all kinds of things like that. And so you can always contact us at Enduring Churches on Facebook or enduringchurches.com on our website. And we'd love to visit with you more about this area just to protect you and to help you to build that fence, as Alan said. So we appreciate so much you taking time to be with us today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak into your life. And we hope that it is beneficial to you. If it is, please share that with someone else, because we want to have the opportunity to speak to others as well. So God bless you. And thank you for joining us today, and hope to see you on our next Enduring Churches podcast episode.